Wrong thing there. All right, classifying gifts. And I'm not, I mean, if you want to look at these different passages, we've looked at all of them previously. You know, Romans 12 is one that we've spent a lot of time looking at. The gifts there, that's the one body, many members, and the different things there. Ephesians 4, probably haven't looked at that one as much, but Ephesians 4, Paul says, let me see if I can find it here. He says, and he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we attain to the unity of faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the fullness of Christ. All right? And then 1 Corinthians, we've looked at that one as well, and read that passage a couple times, the first 11 verses of chapter 12. So, trying to keep, and if you need to look at one of those, that's fine. It's Romans 12, Ephesians 4, 1 Corinthians 12. So Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12 are probably the longer of the passages. So with those things in mind, how would you try to classify or group the gifts? Well, I'll write on the board today. All right, just really broad, major gifts.
Service.
All right, service.
Teaching.
Teaching.
Giving.
Giving.
Sharing.
What's that?
Sharing.
Sharing. All right. What else? Really big categories.
Forgiveness.
All right.
Just normal prayer.
What?
Prayer.
Administration.
Administration. All right.
Hospitality. Discernment.
Did I spell that right?
Exhortation.
That's an M. Exhortation. All right. Any other big categories?
Concern for others.
All right, concern for others.
How about guidance?
All right, good. All right. Anybody see anything else? All right, I'm going to try to lead us into trying to categorize everything into three groups. And we might not get to all three today, but we'll give it a shot. How's that? All right, so in Romans 12, all right, we have the prophets serving, teaching, exhorting, contributing, the giving, generosity kind of thing, leading, acts of mercy, all of that. All of those things should help to do what to others, to show them God's love for them. I'm trying to give you a little hint there. And the number of blanks is how many letters actually go in there. Really trying to help.
Motivate.
All right. So all of those things are gifts of, we could say, motivation. All right. Because we are trying to motivate and get people, point them somewhere or help them with something. All right. So, you know, through our prophecy, and we'll look at these through our service, our teaching, our exhortation, you know, help giving, being generous to them, you know, leading these acts of mercies. Really, the goal behind all of those things is the motivation to enable others to see God's love and to point them to God himself, point them to Christ. All right, so what do we mean by all these things? Well, you know, prophecy, you know, in and of itself, it's the foretelling or speaking out of the truth of God. All right, you know, in the Old Testament, prophecy was more about potentially proclaiming God's word or telling about a future event. But, you know, How were they told in the Old Testament to know if a prophet was true? What? Somebody said it. Right, if what he said actually comes to pass. So, you know, and some of that was, you know, some of them, and, you know, we look at that and we think, well, some of their prophecies came to pass way after they died. But we have to understand, yes, that's true, but in the sense they were still prophesying in that day about things that were to come that did come to pass in their lifetime. You know, so some of the things that we read in Scripture, you know, some of the prophets that are prophesying about the birth of Christ, well, sure, you know, they're not going to go, well, you know, you're not a true prophet because, you know, Christ was, the Messiah wasn't born, because that was a future prophecy. But other things that they did prophesy about within that day and age did come to pass. And so they were, you know, they were counted as real prophets because of that. But, you know, the other part of the definition, just speaking the truth of God. You know, and again, all of us can speak the truth of God. Now, we might not all have that gift to be able to speak it necessarily in a way in which it can be easily understood or helpful. But as someone, I'm trying to remember, it was several weeks ago, I think it was Bruce, maybe, or it might have been Jeremy, that said, you know, that just because, you know, prophecy, even though we might say, well, that's not my gift, so I don't have to talk about the truth of God. Well, no, that's not true. All right. You know, we all need to speak the truth of God when that presents itself. You know, and when we have an opportunity to speak up about the word of God, then we need to do that. All right. Just because it's not our gift doesn't mean that we get a buy on that. All right. Same with ministry. You know, we're serving in practical ways. You know, for that, all of us, you know, we can all strive to be hospitable. We can all strive to help others. You know, just little things. You know, whether it's just, you know, in my Wednesday night group, some of you are in my Wednesday night group, so you know who I'm talking about, but trying not to mention any names, but, you know, a couple had mentioned, you know, that they had, one of them had lost a job, and they found out they owed a lot in taxes and some other financial issues, and another couple had just found out they had had some money, somebody had hacked their bank account and taken money out, and after class, the one that had their bank account hacked, the other couple said to them, you know, hey, is there anything we can do to help you with finances? And they're, you know, they were just like you just found out you lost your job and, you know, all these bad things happening to you, and yet you're offering to help us. But it was just this mind, they just have the mindset of, I just want to help somebody, you know, and we'll be okay, you know, we'll get another job and we'll figure that out. But in the meantime, you know, it's not like anybody stole, I think it was $8,000. It was like $8,000 they'd had stolen out of their bank account. You know, so the other couple was just like, you know, and it wasn't them. They were just in my Wednesday night class. That's why I asked. But, you know, they were just like, but, you know, like, you have an immediate need. You know, you just had $8,000 wiped out of your bank account. So if there's something we can do for you, we'd be happy to do that. So just this idea of being hospitable or helping, and having that ability or that thought process. And, you know, for some people that comes more easily, doesn't it? You know, some it's just very easy. You know, for me, shame on me, but that wasn't my first thought. You know, my first thought was, you know, man, that's terrible. And, you know, I can't believe somebody would have done that. But, you know, my mind didn't run to, is there something I can do to help you? You know, and when I heard about that, I felt so convicted, and I was like, man, I wish I would have thought of that. You know, I wish I would have been the one that said that. So it's, again, that might not be my gift, but I need to be reminded that I can be more compassionate, or I can strive to minister and be more helpful in a practical way when someone has a problem like that or an issue like that. All right, same, teaching. You know, just explaining the word of God. You know, and you might not be able to teach like Pastor Sean, or, you know, pick whoever your favorite Bible teacher is, you know, online or someplace else. You know, you might not be that person, but can you teach the Word of God to your children, to your grandchildren? You know, can you share a verse and it be able to, you know, have the resources to find out what it means and how to explain that to somebody else? You know, so just taking these things and learning to apply them, so that, again, what are you doing? You're motivating your family. You're motivating, maybe it's in a ladies' Bible study or a men's Bible study or just a small group. But taking these and using them, the exhortation, you know, speaking to others in a way that encourages them. You know, there are, and how many of you know somebody that you just, you love to be around them because when you leave them, you always feel better?
Right here.
All right. You'll get a good lunch, but other than a family member, all right? Somebody other than a family member, all right? Just six of us, all right? There are certain people that I enjoy calling on the phone, or I enjoy being around because they're just always encouraging. They're always upbeat, you know, and whether they really are or not, but, you know, when they're speaking with other people, you know, they just have this encouraging way about them. And you feel better from having been around them. And again, that's not, everybody's not like that, obviously. But, you know, there are certain people that are able to just really encourage people. But again, if that's not you, then strive to have in your mindset, you know, how can I encourage someone? You know, when they share a difficulty with me or when they're going through life's problems, you know, am I the one that just says, well, it really stinks to be you and that's it? Or do I at least try to encourage and try to have something that I can share with them to lift their spirits or to help them not give up? You know, giving, you know, again, just, you know, this point of, you know, why do we give? You know, we give to motivate others to give and motivate them for the gospel to be proclaimed and spread. You know, leadership, you know, just administer or govern. Mercy, giving aid to the sick or needy persons. You know, even those that have no merit to receive that, but still providing the mercy and giving that to them. All right, so Ephesians 4, we have the apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, teachers to equip the saints. So all of these gifts are what? They're actual?
Personal?
You're close. Somebody said it.
Pastors.
No? Somebody said it just a second ago. What?
People.
People. All right, these are actual people. All right, so.
Let's get a campaign going.
All right, so these are actual, the people are the gifts that are given to who?
Us.
The church.
The church. All right, so these are actual individuals that as gifts, God is giving them to the church. So not, you know, as in Romans, these were individual giftings that individual people have within the body. You know, we said each, you know, within the body, there's different members and they're all working together to make the body whole. In this scenario, given to the church body, there are actual people that are within that body that are doing these things. The apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, teachers. And, you know, a lot of those we've already talked about and the individual gifting side. But we need to realize that within a church body, and some of you are going to PCS or get out of the middle. I guess that would still be a PCS. No.
ETS.
You know, you're either going to PCS or ETS and move away from here. So when you're going to find another church, another local body, you know, realize, you know, who are the prophets? Who are the evangelists? Who are the shepherds, the teachers, the preachers within that church that are going to be ministering to me? You know, are they, You know, do they know the Word of God? Are they teaching the Word of God? You know, are they proclaiming the truth of the Word of God? So we realize that there are actual people that are given to us as gifts as well as individual things. So these gifts given to the church that are actual peoples, the apostles, those are kind of the, you know, and again, I know there's only the 12 apostles in Scripture, so we don't really have new apostles that are coming out. Because what was the true definition of what is a Bible definition of an apostle?
Someone who physically witnessed Christ's ministry while he was alive and witnessed the resurrection, death, burial, and resurrection.
Right. All right, so an apostle, we would define an apostle as someone who, followed Christ prior to his death, burial, resurrection, then was called of him to do something post-resurrection. So we include Paul as an apostle. So why would Paul be included as an apostle as well?
Because Christ came down and called him straight
right.
out.
Right, right. You know, we have Paul being called by Christ as he was persecuting the church. And then many people feel Scripture, you know, there's kind of a gap in Paul's timeline, and Paul makes vague references to when he was taught by Christ. So many people feel like Paul actually was taught by Christ personally somehow. Don't know exactly what that looks like or anything, but we're just going to kind of take Scripture at face value and believe it for what it says. But the apostles for us today are kind of those that are doing what? They're leading new ministries. They're starting new things. They have a vision of something that can be done in a church that's going to be useful and helpful in that kind of idea. So they're kind of what we call them, the trailblazers. You know, they're going forward. They're setting out. They're trying to get something accomplished. And then we have the prophets that are telling the truth of God, regardless of what it means to them personally. You know, the evangelists, they're proclaiming the gospel and, you know, sharing Christ with as many people as they can. Pastors and teachers, they're, you know, teaching and preparing and equipping the saints for service. So again, as we look at that, should all of us be doing some part of all of those things? Yes. Now, are some going to be more gifted in those than others? Yes, of course. All right, so, you know, we can't just say, well, I don't have a gift of evangelism, so, you know, John can do all that, and I'm not doing any of it. Or, you know, Clint's a chaplain, he can do all the teaching. You know, I don't have to talk to any of the military guys. If they have a question, I'll just say, go see the chaplain. No, you know, we don't get a buy on those things. You know, we still have to be ready to give an answer and ready to be involved and be equipped to do what we are called to do. In that, but we realize in the grand scheme, you know, within the body of the church, we have specific things that we have been gifted to do. Also within a church, there are people that God has gifted to guide that ministry and lead that ministry. And we are to come alongside them and help them with that. I think I got a couple of slides here before we get to the third group. We'll probably talk about that next week. But not all of us aren't called to be that leader, that teacher, that preacher. But you know, we can team up with them. You know, we can see a ministry, we can see something, and say, you know what, I'm interested in helping, using the gifts that I have to help in that ministry. You know, I don't want to lead it. I don't want to be the trailblazer to start it. But let me come alongside and help with how God has gifted me in that. And so that's important, that we are all involved. You know, you'll find the great fulfillment in serving within the area of ministry to which God, the Lord has called you, where your gifting is. You know, you want to find the ministry that you feel really comfortable with, that you can be fulfilled in, and use your gifts in that. You know, if you get stuck in a And I don't mean the nursery here, because everybody's frustrated, disappointed, and dissatisfied working in the nursery. Just kidding. I know a lot of you say, I just do that because. But, you know, we need to try different things and see where we click, see where you fit. And then you can get really involved and just give yourself in that area of ministry, realizing that this is where the Holy Spirit can use me most. And so, and then we'll look at this one next week because we're almost out of time. But in 1 Corinthians, do a little research this week, if you would, on 1 Corinthians. And, you know, because we see the gifts here, the utterance of wisdom, the utterance of knowledge, healing, the miracles, can't see that one all the way in the back there. Prophecy, that's why. You know, the ability to distinguish between spirits, tongues, interpretation of tongues. You know, we would read that today and say, well, you know, that's really not something popular today within our circles. You know, in some other churches, maybe it is, but, you know, within Bible churches, Baptist churches, it wouldn't be really big. So, you know, why does Paul include this and really focus on his audience? You know, he's writing to Corinthians, so kind of look at who the Corinthians were, where they had gone from when he was there and started the church to where they're at now in chapter 12, and do a little bit of historical research on that, and then kind of see if that makes sense to why he's really calling them out on these things here. See if that makes sense to you. Alrighty. Luke, you mind closing us in prayer?
Sure.
Thanks.
Father, we thank you for bringing us here today. We pray that this time of discussion was productive, Lord, that we learned every opportunity that we have, Lord. I just pray that you would bless this rest of today, the preaching of the word, Lord. I pray that if there are those here that are not yours, that you would bring them to yourself, Lord. And I just pray that we would be better about showing our spiritual gifts, our love, and our giving, and those types of things to one another, and helping serve one another in the body. In Jesus' name.